you haven't noticed, we are currently in a stretch where the lectionary is giving us a parable in the gospel, the Sunday gospel. This will continue for the next couple weeks. Jesus was very fond of using parables as a method of teaching, because unlike simply lecturing on a subject, parables better dispose us to reflecting on a given teaching, and they elicit a response on our part. Jesus does not condemn us, neither does the Father, but instead he persistently extends an invitation to us, an invitation warranting a response. And that is what Jesus is looking for. Today's parable presents us with two sons. The first rejects the father's invitation, but then has a change of heart. The second son acts as though he will respond out of obedience, but we hear that he also had a change of heart and decides to reject that invitation that was extended to him. The first son represents the Gentiles who for years refused to worship the God of Israel. But when the Messiah did come, they turned from their disobedience and followed Christ. The second son represents the Jews who professed their covenant with God, intending to follow the commandments, intending to follow the rules of the faith. But when the Messiah actually came, when he arrived, they did not follow him, instead rejecting him. Our Lord is not condoning the Gentiles' previous ways, nor is he approving of the tax collectors and prostitutes' previous sins, but he is praising their decision to turn from their old ways by the change of heart that they experienced. And he is certainly not condemning the Jews for their initial response, but rather lamenting the fact that they decided not to follow through with their response. If we reflect on this parable, on these two sons, we can easily apply it to our own lives. How many times have we had a good intention, planned to bolster our prayer life, to enhance our spiritual life, resolved to avoid those near occasions of sin, but soon after failed to recall those plans and to follow through with those good intentions? Perhaps instead we can associate with the first son, recalling those times where we explicitly turned down the opportunity to follow Christ and chose to do what I wanted to do instead. And eventually, we encountered a change of heart and decided to respond to God's invitation after all. That would be ideal. But maybe having a change of heart, deciding to respond to Christ, just doesn't seem possible. I've said no to God too many times. I've committed too many sins, done something so awful in my past that God has certainly revoked that invitation by now. And even if I become more generous with God and accept that invitation, my past will always prevent me from truly being that disciple that I see others being. That's something no saint has ever said or allowed themselves to believe. What does our first reading have to say about this? God tells us through the prophet Ezekiel, if the wicked man turns from his wickedness that he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins he has committed, he shall surely live. God of the Old Testament is not just a God of justice, but is a God of mercy. He is a God of compassion. And the psalmist says, remember not the sins of my youth, O Lord. Remember your mercies. Remember not what I have done in my past. I acknowledge what I have done. Blot it out from your memory, God. That is the cry of the psalmist to God. And we know God listens and responds to that cry. The sins of our past do not define us. God acknowledges our sins when we repent, yes. But he does not see us through the lens of those sins. He sees us rather through the lens of our identity as his sons and daughters. When God forgives our sins, he remembers them no longer. And when he ceases to hold them in mind, they exist no more. And that's not metaphorical. It's literal. When we are faced, however, with the consequences of our sins, we are tempted to still think that the sin remains, that it somehow follows us around. It does not. Because as St. Paul points out, Christ's death on the cross made this possible. And when we allow Satan to convince us that we are somehow still associated with our past sins, we are simultaneously telling Christ that his sacrifice, that his blood, was not enough. That is the glory of God, that we have been reconciled. And as a result, we are free to accept God's invitation full-heartedly, responding as faithful disciples and stewards. And as St. Clement of Alexandria pointed out, the doors are open for all who sincerely and wholeheartedly return to God. Indeed, the Father is most willing to welcome back a truly repentant son or daughter. We have said no in the past, maybe as recent as yesterday, or even this morning. But as the first son in the parable, we can change our minds and believe in him and follow him, whether we relate to that first or the second son, or maybe both. God extends us an invitation, waiting and hoping for a response. If we call ourselves Catholic, then we must be practicing Catholics. There cannot be a contradiction between what we profess and how we live. A limited understanding of the faith only allows for a limited response. A wholehearted and genuine response requires a commitment to becoming an expert in the faith. Not achieving expertise, but the commitment to becoming. This response is not made occasionally or on random days, but each day, every day that we rise. And that is how we become the disciple that God has in mind. At this time, if I could have the ushers step forward and begin to hand out to all of you the annual State of the Parish report. This annual report offers everyone an insight into what has occurred over the past year in our parish, what improvements we have made, what advances and enhancements we have made, both with the physical property, the number of families in our parish, but also the growth spiritually of our parish, an opportunity to give thanks to God and by reflecting on all that you have been able to do, the ability to give back to God. And that, in light of that ability, we thank him. And it's an opportunity to celebrate the success of our parish, to celebrate the stewardship that all of you have lived out with your tithe, your talent, and your time. But as with all things, beyond giving thanks to God and celebrating the opportunities that we have taken advantage of, it's also an opportunity to see what God might be calling us to in the future, what God might be asking of you, how he is waiting for you to respond in some way through various ministries or various opportunities to become that steward that God has in mind. To be that faithful disciple that God is calling us to be. And so I do encourage you to read over this, maybe not all during Mass, but do read over it. Be informed of what's going on. This parish is phenomenal in many ways. And so celebrate our parish, but also give thanks to God for all that he has allowed you to do.